Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Uniparts India Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Monali Jain from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Manuja. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Q4 and FY24 earnings call of Uniparts India Limited. We have on the call Mr. Gurdeep Soni, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rohit Maheshwari, Group Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vivek Maheshwari, Vice President, Financial Planning and Analysis and Investor Relations. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I will now request the management to take us through the financials and business updates, subsequent to which we will open the floor for questions and answers. I will now hand over to Mr. Gurdeep. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q4 FY24 earnings call of Uniparts India Limited. We sincerely hope that all of you are doing very well. Prior to getting into the summary of the reported quarter, like always, I would like to reiterate that the core of our organizational functioning is guided by the principles of passion, innovation, integrity, excellence, and teamwork. The team has been working diligently and with passion over the years to establish Uniparts as a preferred supplier to the global off-highway vehicles market. We at Uniparts believe that through our off-highway focus, our well-positioned product offerings, and marquee customer portfolio, we have a robust global business model to cater to the long-term trends of food security prioritization as well as infrastructure build-out and modernization. By way of leveraging engineering competencies and global delivery model, we are proudly partaking in building the world and feeding its people. With the above backdrop, let me spend the next few minutes sharing thoughts with respect to the current operating environment and business highlights. Our Q4 FY24 closed broadly in line with the guidelines given earlier for a 10%-12% sequential growth. Inventory corrections at customers' end are now practically behind, with only minimal sales and impact in Q4 for small agricultural OEMs. The end market near-term dynamics and volatile demand scenario persist. On the construction side of the end market, the U.S. market for us is steady, with new business driven by China Plus One and U.S. infrastructure bill. Europe is witnessing slight softness, while Japan is largely steady. On the large agricultural machines, early signals of slowdown in U.S. large ag, as indicated in the previous two quarters, have started to materialize and expected to have adverse impact on demand vis-à-vis FY24. On the small agricultural machines, this segment overall declined about 50% for Uniparts in FY24. On this reduced base, the demand in near-term looks steady and being monitored for any further signals. The Indian domestic tractor market has remained soft through the completed fiscal year. Recovery expectations for now are more linked to monsoon performance this year and pickup in export demand. In the aftermarket, this segment overall declined approximately 30% for Uniparts in FY24, owing to the dual impact of demand softness and aggravated by channel inventory correction. Inventory correction cycle appears to be over for now, and that part of demand is expected to normalize over the coming quarters. The end market demand is being monitored and some very early green shoots are observed. The new business pipeline is healthy. However, end market softness could lead to some elongation of implementation timelines and full revenue realization timelines in some cases. Our investments for growth continues, plus additional focus on cost optimizations are also continuing. The company's business continues to generate healthy cash flows, lending further strength to the balance sheet. We also continue to augment our digital capabilities, aiding agility and optimizations. The company has also been making meaningful strides in its CSR as well as sustainability initiatives. During the completed fiscal, we supported several social causes in the community around our manufacturing facilities. Towards sustainable energy adoption, our Vizag facility is now equipped with captive rooftop solar plant, while our Noida facilities are in the process of getting open access solar power supply. We believe that these initiatives will go a long way in generating positive impact on society and environment in which we operate. As the focus on food security and infrastructure built out by most economies in the world is continuing, this lends a long-term tailwind for the global off-highway vehicle industry. Within this long-term growth journey, propelled by regular demand for off-highway vehicles, there are likely to be shorter periods of highs and lows. Coming off the high base of 2021 and 2022 and calendar year 2023, the current fiscal 23-24 was one such year of softer demand, further accentuated by some element of channel inventory destocking. We have been focusing on utilizing such short-term lean patch by investing for growth and ensuring readiness of our facilities and resources. Our focus and efforts are aligned with the medium-term business plan for achieving the targeted growth in coming years. With this, I would like to hand over to Vivek Maheshwari to discuss the details of our financial performances during the reported quarter. Thanks, and over to you, Vivek.
Thank you, sir, and good evening all. I would like to share following financial and business highlights of the quarter and the fiscal year ending 31st March 2024. Revenues from operations for Q4 came in at Rs. 290 crores, which is a quarter-on-quarter change of plus 11.8% and a year-on-year change of minus 11.7%. And for the full year, FY24 came in at 1136 crores, which is a year-of-year change of 16.6%. Reported EBITDA for Q4 was 51.5 crore, which is a quarter-on-quarter change of 16% and a year-on-year change of minus 26.5%. And reported EBITDA for full year was rupees 210.7 crore, which degrew year-on-year by approximately 32.6%. While EBITDA margin reported at 17.8% for the quarter four and 18.5% for the full year FY24 respectively. Operating cash flow generation for full year FY24 was approximately 200 crores. This is a result of improved working capital performance and healthy profitability despite decline in revenues. The net working capital, comprising of big three elements of inventory, accounts receivable and account payable, as number of days of trailing 12 months revenue from operations, stood at 152 days as on 31st March 2024. Net working capital during the fiscal year decreased by approximately 64 crores. Unipart balance sheet continues to be net debt free with group net cash position at approximately 113 crores at the end of March 2024. Full year cash outflow towards CAPEX commitment has been approximately 36 crores. Inflationary pressure cost remains in the medium term to be partially mitigated through operating efficiencies. Macro concerns over global economic slowdown, geopolitical uncertainties, and impact of worldwide high interest rate continues to remain a key monitorable. With this summary, I would like to hand the conference back to the moderator for question and answer session. Thanks very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chetan Vora from Abacus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So just would like to understand that as you have mentioned that we are largely done with the inventory stocking. So what sort of demand growth we are expecting in this fiscal 25 and 26?
So the end market is still a little flattish for the regular product that we do, but clearly the new product offerings that we have made in the market, including additional business simply because of the China Plus One and the infra bill and other issues, is giving us a good fillip, and that is what we are expecting in the current financial year.
But sir, that will not be that meaningful, no, to move the needle. We need to see a growth from our the base business also, right? To see a positive growth.
So, like I said, you know, there are some soft pockets, and earlier in the previous call, we had said that, you know, we were expecting growth this year in the mid-teens, but we are now reassessing that, and probably in a couple of months, we would be in a more clear position on what type of a top-line growth are we looking at for the current financial year.
Yeah, so last con call, you had mentioned that you are looking at the growth of in mid-teens, so that is not doable, is what you are trying to say as of now?
So like I said, we are evaluating that because, you know, some of the end markets have softened a little bit more in the U.S., especially in the agriculture side. So we are evaluating that. Plus, the new business that we were expecting is also coming up a little bit more. So the net result, we are still under evaluation, but I think the growth will be pretty okay, but right now we are evaluating what the number will be, and we should be ready, Jason, to give you that information in another couple of months.
Okay. And sir, this, the second question is that the cash flow generation, you know, has been quite decent. So what are we planning to do of that cash?
This is Rohit Maheshwari. The cash flow has been pretty decent in the thing. So we are using the cash flow at the moment. Certain portion of the cash flow has gone for declaring the dividends, which we declared in the last fiscal year also. And we continue to do, we have a policy of 25% dividend. We're doing better than that. And at the same time, we are looking at the inorganic acquisition side of the business, which we have made headway, but still a lot of work needs to be done on that part.
Right. And what will be the CapEx for this year and the next year?
The CapEx for this year is about 40 crore plan. Normally, we do 2.5% of the sales. But certain new projects which we have backed as a company, we expect the 40 crore of these as a CapEx acquisition.
All right. So just was trying to understand that still we will not be able to cross our FY23 numbers in this year also, as what I'm gathering.
Yeah, but we stated that the markets are soft in some parts of the business, especially the agri side. So we are evaluating the business at the moment, and most of the BD teams are visiting the customers. So we'll have a final assessment like we said in a couple of months.
Okay. Fine. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Jain from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, extending to the question of the previous participant, I just wanted to reconfirm that you had mentioned top line growth of mid-teens for the current fiscal, and that would have included nearly 150 to 175 crore of new businesses. And also you had mentioned that 20-21% kind of margin is possible with that kind of growth. So, of course, as you mentioned that you will need a couple of more months to, you know, reassess the outlook. But as of now, how is that 150 to 175 crore of new businesses faring up? And with 16, although we have seen a, you know, rebound in our Q4 revenue, but our margins are still at 16.4% EBITDA margins. Would you want to comment on that, both new businesses and profitability?
Yeah, hi, Saurabh. So new business, that is right, you know, in the range of 175 to 200 crore is the number that we are expecting in the current year, which includes year zero and year one, what we call it. Year zero is the first year and year one is the ramp-up year. So, but, you know, with this dynamic end market situation, what is happening is the timelines of implementations in some cases, you know, get impacted. Having said that, we are also in discussion with some of the customers to expedite, on the other hand, some of the projects. So, you know, how some timelines may get adversely impacted while some can be pulled ahead, etc. So that is something which is being evaluated as we, you know, as we speak. So that is one. And what, you know, from previous time to this time, a couple of things have changed in the end market, as Gurdeep sir also mentioned. The large act, which was, I mean, we indicated that it is likely to peak out, but definitely from then to now, clear indications of, you know, the order books getting impacted on that front has materialized. While on the aftermarket, things are improving. So that is a green shoot that is visible. And rest of the things are looking more or less steady, but on a slightly lower base of last fiscal. So that's where things stand as of now, broadly. And on your question of EBITDA, definitely our medium-term target is to get back to 20-21%. But as the operating leverage comes back, so this will happen, you know, gradually with that.
We are still maintaining the midterm target to around a bit of over 20%.
Okay. But last fiscal year has been 18.5, you know, despite the slowdown.
Sorry, I didn't get it.
The full year FY24 reported EBITDA is 18.5. Even if we include the other income, etc., it's closer to 18.
Quarters it has been at 16 and 16.4%. That's why I was, you know, of course you have been mentioning for your 3 years horizon EBITDA margins of 21% is the, but we were more considerate about FY25 since for last few quarters we have been, you know, waiting for that. Of course, the markets were not in our favor. But, sir, on a separate thing, according to the recent data released by AEM, U.S. sales of, you know, overall tractors, including four-wheel tractors, grew at a healthy rate in April 24, primarily driven by 100-plus HP tractors. So, but they mentioned that the smaller HP market continues to be very challenging. So, if that continues for a couple of quarters, do you think growing at single digit also would be an issue for us?
So, you know, you're right. The April numbers came out pretty well for tractor sales for 100 plus horsepower. And it actually surprised the industry, you know. Also, I've looked at some data on the crop sowing happening in the USA, and it's actually about 15 to 18% higher up to date than what it was last year, you know. So definitely that's a good surprise that the market is seeing. On the small tractor, you know, it is talking about down about 5 to 7%, but in our case, because the inventory deleverage has happened, you know, and there is a little bit of inventory coming back, we are still looking at a flattish year for the small tractor requirements, you know, the 3-point linkage for the small tractor. We have seen that the biggest customer in the world, you know, John Deere, has shown a little bit lesser growth over there, but then we have another customer who is the second largest in the U.S., Kubota. They are in fact taking away some share from John Deere. So net to net, because both are our customers, we are seeing a flattish year in the small ag.
Okay. And so my next question is, now that inventory destocking is behind us, foray into 100 plus HP tractors has already been done. Like, we have got the case New Holland, and we have also started with 3TLs for ATVs and UTVs. At the same time, we have been mentioning China plus one for quite some time. So if you can, you know, give us some quantitative color on the same, some relevant numbers on what kind of business have we got in the last couple of years on account of China plus one, particularly in the U.S. markets?
So what happens in the U.S. market is that, of course, like Vivek has mentioned, that we are almost looking at close to 200 as new business for the current year. So that's a combination of China plus one. It's a combination of you know, the infra bill, and also the fact that some of the manufacturing for made in USA and made in Europe is also shifting to India. So when we get a project, we really don't know what segment this is coming from, but overall the overall growth and the input is coming in is pretty good, you know. And if anything, the China plus one, you know, as you all have been reading, is only going to, you know, the relationship is only getting worse between Europe and US and China, and we just see a lot more happening in this particular area.
Okay. And my last question, sir, any updates on other businesses apart from CPL and PMP, like hydraulic components, fabrications, power takeoffs, any amount of businesses, if we can mention the number we have acquired in last quarter or last fiscal in the other category?
So a good positive is that on the fabrications, we are attracting some fairly good business. Some has already materialized and some of this is close to coming in. And on the hydraulic side, you know, we had already started with the customers, and so that part is moving on fairly good as anticipated. And but on the PTO side, you know, it's the push has not been so much right now because we've been busy with the other two segments. But yeah, overall we are seeing that things are moving in the right direction for us over there.
Also, Saurabh, just to add to what I mentioned, the new account on the aftermarket side, which is the second largest store group in the U.S., so we commenced sales to them in Q4, and YTD calendar year sales have already crossed 500,000 with them, and obviously there will be a ramp-up in coming quarters and 2 years. So the midterm, like 3 years, kind of a 2 million sort of a estimate that we provided earlier, the direction is already there.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Gurdeep Sheer, a few questions from my side. One is, if I look at our gross margins for FY24, they have come off quite materially over the last 2 years. What would be this? What would be the key reason for this? I mean, I believe there'll be some impact of mix as well, but what are the reasons you can attribute for this scene?
Hi, Dinesh. Hi. So, Dinesh, see, broadly, gross margin have been in a stable range of a couple of percentage points and more towards, gravitating towards 64%. But, you know, over a particular year, few things impact gross margin. Like, last 2-3 years were more impacted by the steel price changes. Those were happening in 21 and 22, etc. And then the freight cost, which, you know, went up quite a lot, which was
also being recovered in the top line and being paid in expenses side. So those numerator and denominator effects, you know, generally, you know, distort some of those gross margin figures by a couple of percentage points. And the other regular elements are the mix, as you also mentioned, mix change a little bit, and the change in inventory also impacts. But having said all of this, broadly, a couple of percentage point range, ranging between 63 to 65, more gravitating towards 64, has been, you know, the steady state.
Right, right. And second question pertains to the newer products which we are working on, not necessarily from next 12 to 15 months perspective, but from medium to long term perspective. Any updates on the PTOs, 3PLs or the higher HP tractors? Where are we in terms of development or testing cycle, and by when do we expect that to reflect in our P&L?
So, you know, this is a continuous process, and we are seeing some fairly good, you know, requirements in the plus 100 horsepower tractor range from almost two or three, in fact, four of our customers, you know. And a lot of the projects are ongoing, you know, where it has been quoted, but they are in an advanced stage of negotiation and implementation. And so we do see a fairly good traction moving forward. In that part of the segment, you know. And like I mentioned, even on the applications, we have actually, you know, attracted pretty good, what we call as RFQs, the requests for quotes, which are, again, you know, liked by our customers, and we are seeing a good traction over there as well, you know. PTO, like I said, we haven't done so much because we were so busy with the other things. And on the hydraulics, you know, we continued with one particular customer, and there it is on an increase, you know.
Okay, okay. And would it be fair to say that PTO, any development will be linked to an organic initiative? Organically, it might be not that easy to have a commercial success there.
In all fairness, I won't say that, you know, it's just that the attention on the, you know, if the customer says, I want this and I want this and I want this, we have been looking at that more, and, you know, so the PTO may have gone on the back burner for some time, but it's not by design, it's just that, you know, we just wanted to cater to the higher demand that's coming from the construction side and the fabrication side in particular.
Okay, okay. Got it. And the last question pertains to the capacity utilization. So how it would be currently for TPL and PNP?
So Dinesh, as you might remember from our earlier discussions, the capacity is fairly fungible. You know, the machining, the surface finishing, the treatment, etc. are used in both. So the overall capacity is, I mean, the last year closed at around the 60% level. I mean, this is a broad approximation, a little here or there. And so there is adequate headroom as far as normal products are concerned. But obviously for few, as Rohit mentioned earlier, for few special projects, there could be some special capex. And apart from that, there will be regular replacement capex and some debottlenecking.
So you mentioned out, there's a quite a space of, you have the delivery side. Right? The order book comes in a better way,
there's
a lot of scope
of improvement. Got it, great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Vidhan Kumar from Chanakya Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay. So, can we get a quantitative number on the lines of the margins that we get on 3PL and precision machine parts?
Yeah, so these are in similar ballpark. And in our case, what matters or what makes a difference is how a product is being sold, through which channel. And as we highlighted earlier as well, the channel that we generally follow are the warehousing channel, where we sell the product through our overseas warehouses,
or the domestic, which is made in India and sold in India, and made in US and sold in US. And the other channel is direct export from India directly to the customer location. So channel, I mean, these channels generally define the margin. And for the products, they are in similar ballpark range. And the warehousing channel is the highest margin for us. Which is about 47 to 48% proportion of our sales as of now, and is in the 25 to 28% EBITDA range. I mean, depending on the deleverage effect a little bit.
Okay, so my next question would be, so the PNP business that we have, so do we have a significant competitive advantage for that? Because by the nature of that business, it seems very fragmented.
Yes, yes, you're right. It is a fragmented space. So the advantage that we have is our existing relationship with the key global OEMs and the India-based for manufacturing. And the China plus one tailwind has been helping in recent times. And otherwise, yes, it is a fragmented market. So it's not like any player is not having a very large 20-30% sort of market share. Unlike the three-point linkage where there are three large global players, we are one of them.
So relationship is so strong that some of our customers are asked to come to Mexico, which we are evaluated in February, as mentioned in the last call. We're looking at that order book. So it's a customer-centric relationship that built over a period of time.
Okay. That would be all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Shah from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Sir, two questions from my side. How did you stand as of now in that market? Do you have any plans on increasing that this segment going forward?
Sorry, your voice was not very clear. Could you repeat the question?
So how big is the aftermarket segment and where do you stand as of now in that market? And do you have... Okay, going on.
Rishabh, your audio is not clear.
Aftermarket you are checking on?
Yes, aftermarket. Do you have any plans on increasing that segment?
Definitely. You know, what we are seeing is that, like you said, we already added the second largest chain in the US for that. The first one was already with us. And in fact, what has happened is that even on the inventory side where the deleverage has happened, but in this case, the swing on the other side is not taking place. And in fact, our top three customers, all three of them, one in USA and two in Europe, they're actually ordering more product because they feel that inventories have come down a bit too much and now they want to ramp up a little bit more, you know. So we are seeing overall a good positive traction on the aftermarket that we will see in this current financial year.
Okay, so my second question is the new segment which have kept supplying 3PL to UTV and ATV. How is this looking up on your target?
So yeah, as we mentioned earlier and in our presentation also, so the pilot batch for the same has already reached the about 160 to 170 stores in the USA, and it is already on the shelves and sales have started to happen. But this is a very recent development, so it will take some time for the data to flow in and exact feedback to come in. So this is a work in progress as we speak.
Okay, so my last question is, are you targeting more exports and are you planning to increase your hold in any other geographies?
So geographies, we are pretty much covering all, I mean, see, our geographies, it's more relevant from the point of view where the machines are getting produced and not so much where the machines are getting sold. So wherever they are produced, be it North America, Europe, India, or Japan, except China, where obviously a lot of construction machines are produced, but we don't cater too much to China. Rest everywhere we are already supplying, and we are supplying to most of the large OEMs globally on the ag side and construction side. Only you know, one or two large names on the construction side are missing, where obviously we are trying to, you know, make inroads. But pretty much all the top OEMs are our customers. So from that perspective, our spread is pretty large, and it's about, you know, mining those accounts more and more going forward.
Vivek, I would also like to mention that, you know, recently we've already seen as a geography, South America, there is some fairly good requirements coming in. Also from the same customers that we have already, but for their manufacturing requirements, what they manufacture in South America. So that's, again, that's another opportunity that's coming up, you know. So that was an unexplored continent for us, so to say, and we see both Brazil and Argentina, as you know, are very large countries for agricultural produce, you know, globally.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag Feloke from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was around the other expenses. They seem to have a decent uptick sequentially. Is this just because of the increase in sales that we have seen, or is there a freight component to this?
Hi, Chirag. So in the other expenses, yes, since some of the variable expenses also sit there, so because of the sequential growth, some part is linked to that. And then there is slightly higher travel expense because of the sales and BD team traveling, and slightly higher repair expenses. So those are few of the drivers.
Understood. But freight as a percentage of sales broadly in Q3 and Q4 has been similar. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, little impact of the Red Sea charges. Not a very large needle mover, but yes, there is a little one, which is recoverable, and you know, corresponding part can you know, generally sit in the revenue line.
Understood. Understood. My second question is, you know, if the senior management could share some thoughts on the overall cyclicality of the business whenever we see such a down cycle, right? And the small AG tractor, at least the outlook from the largest customer seems to be pretty weak still. How long does it take typically for it to come back? What are sort of macro signals that you are looking at? Because a small AG tractor, if I'm not wrong, is not really that much related to the agriculture demand. It's more the non-ag use case that is driving it. Could you just talk about that on a macro level? How long do you think that softness will continue? And what kind of leading indicators do you typically look for?
So, thanks for the question. You know, what has happened is that, as you rightly said, the small tractor in the U.S. market is not a farming tractor or a serious farming tractor. It's more like a tractor used by, you know, people with large properties. And you know, this is the first time that the interest rates have gone up so much in the U.S. after I think a decade or 1.5 decades, that some of that effect is happening because of that. And we think that even though there are cycles, but this particular one is unusual because of the interest rate situation on the small tractor. And with indications that, you know, the moment there's some indication that the Fed will start cutting down the interest rate, we see some of that coming back, you know.
Understood. Understood. Thank you. Last question. In our overall business, what is the seasonality of Q4? Typically, is there any seasonality? Is Q4 around 25% of the year sales? I'm not talking about this year. I have obviously the report number for this year, but on a more...
Yeah, so there's no huge seasonality, Kirat. I mean, generally, the quarters, you know, range between 23% to 27%. Long back, I mean, post-COVID, things have changed a little bit, but long back, before that, Q4 used to be a slightly higher, which is more like 26-27% sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, you know, each year could be a little different from the other. But yeah, the range is broadly, you know, closer to 25-26%. It's not hugely seasonal.
The next question is from the line of Jayesh from Hidden Gem Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Well, my question regarding the what are the guidance for FY25 and 26, and also the how much will be operating profit margin in for FY25 and 26?
Yeah, so as sir mentioned in response to one of the earlier questions, so complete fiscal guidance is being worked out and will take some more time for the management to get back to that. And I mean, broad, you know, the end market dynamics and the business operating environment has been explained already. So we are not putting a particular number to that just now. And so is the margin, because, you know, that operating leverage coming back, it is slightly linked to that.
And how much is the order book right now?
So, okay, so we get regular orders, so there's no order book, long-term order book that is available. The association with most of our OEM customers is very, very long-term. I mean, most are there with us for 15 to 20 years. And depending upon their sales, we get a visibility of anywhere between 6 months or 3 months to 12 months, depending on which customer operates in what manner. But there's no particular order book number that we are able to give out at any time.
And sir, one more question. How much is the replacement cycle for 3PL and for other part like precision part in engineering tester? How much is the replacement cycle for this part?
So for 3-point linkage, typically it is anywhere between, you know, 7-8 years or so. But it's a combination of 8-9 subparts. So there's a possibility that, you know, one of the subparts breaks and that gets replaced. So it's not always that the entire hitch gets replaced. It is sometimes, you know, one or two parts gets replaced. So it's that kind of a product. While on the other hand, the PMP is slightly less than that, because these are, you know, these are the joints where the load bearing happens. And you know, the replacement market for PMP is more through OEMs themselves. And on the other hand, on the CPL side, there's a large aftermarket, organized aftermarket also out there.
Okay. And my question is about dividend policy. Is the need for continuing with this dividend policy? Because post IPO, the financial is not that great. By sequential, by quarter, and FY compared to FY 23 and 24. So, will the dividend policy will continue?
Definitely, it will. In fact, our stated dividend policy is 25%. We did about 40% last year, and even for the current year, we think we should be in the same percentage. Simply because the cash flows are generation is pretty good. Yeah. So we had, in fact, last year the cash flow was, like mentioned, is about 200 crores. So clearly, we see the dividend policy continuing and probably in the range of 35-40%.
The only caveat is we identify the target in the unorganic space. That might change slightly a bit, but otherwise we'll continue on that.
Okay. My last question is about the IPO listing time, actually. I'm following Unipart from last 1 year also, and also attending every conference call. Do you think that during the IPO listing, the operating profit margin was about 22-24, I guess. I think that was because of COVID impact. And now the operating profit margin is about 14-16, now because of the you can say a down cycle or maybe a normal business of Unipart. Don't you think so the IPO timing of Unipart was not a true picture of the Unipart, because that was one of the event of COVID that's why the operating profit margin was better.
No, so even during the IPO times, you know, the management was very clear that the 23% or above, which was, you know, getting reflected for a few quarters, was having certain tailwinds. And, you know, the real EBITDA levels were closer to 21, which was, you know, at the, let's say, around the FY23 revenue levels. From there, things have declined 16 to 17%. So obviously the operating deleverage is playing out. So our medium-term target is to get back to that 20-21%, which we believe at that kind of a revenue level is a steady state.
Okay, thank you. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Rishabh Shah from Bubble Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, which are the major sectors constituting for revenue? And are we planning to expand our reach in other, into various other sectors?
You were not very well audible. Could you repeat the question once?
The question is, are the major sectors contributing to our revenue? And are we planning to expand our reach into various other sectors?
Are you talking about inorganic?
Yes, inorganic.
Inorganic. Okay, inorganic.
So, no, we are very clearly laid down the verticals what we want to expand in. It will be ancillary to the verticals what we are operating in at the moment. We have mentioned it through the hydraulics or the PTOs part of the business, where we can leverage on our manufacturing strength and our relationship with our customers.
And the delivery.
Well, it is just like insuring, what we always call a dealership insuring model. And that is our USP of the thing, and we want to operate in that segment. And that's the area we are looking for in our growth globally.
So what is the contribution towards our revenue from the top three of our customers?
So, the top 10 customers are about 76-77%. Top 5 are closer to in the 55-60% range, all put together.
Okay. So my last question is, with the introduction of new products, how much additional revenue are we able to clock? And how much additional market share are we able to gain?
Is that again linked to the inorganic, your inorganic question?
Yes, sir.
So that will be driven by this, you know, the size of the target that we find.
So that will be
the starting point, and obviously the intent would be to...
It's like building up a vertical in that slide. If you want to do in the hydraulics, that's a new vertical that's going to be a sizable one in that. Because organically, it will take time to build it up. That's why we are looking in that area to build it up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, thank you so much for taking my question. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, just wanted to know, a lot of my questions have already been answered. Just wanted to know, so currently, if you would have some visibility of Q1 and Q2, will we say it larger, mostly flattish as compared to FY24? Would that be a fair assumption?
So, as of now, I mean, we would not like to comment beyond Q1 for stated reasons earlier. Q1 could be, you know, sequentially broadly flattish in that range.
Okay.
And beyond that, we are evaluating and we'll revert in due course.
Fair enough, sir. So we would assume the currently margins will also be around 16% only, right, sir?
Yes, in fact, ballpark. Broadly, although we are working on various, you know, cost optimization efforts, so those can add. But broad ballpark is, yeah.
you can take that.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Okay, that's it from my side. So all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Mehta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just a clarification, you just said that 1Q will be flattish on a YOY basis or sequentially?
Sequential, Ronak. Although YOY and sequential, there's not huge difference, but I meant more sequential.
Understood. Okay. I have a couple of questions for Gurdeepji. So firstly, can you talk about the new order wins that have happened in the last couple of quarters, given that there's a lot of traction from China plus one thing that is happening. Any new order wins or increase in the wallet share with existing customer where you know that you have gained market share, something to highlight?
You know, like I said, the overall, we are looking close to a 200 crore figure, and this is only changing month on month because there are so many new quotes and things that are happening, you know, and they're happening much faster than what they were earlier, you know, because of the market conditions. It's coming, in fact, while we keep saying China plus one and that is happening, but it's surprisingly coming a lot also because what is made in USA or made in Europe is that is also we are seeing a lot of traction coming to India where they are finding manufacturing is getting on to be far more expensive and people availability in this particular industry is not so good, you know.
Okay, so most of them are at RFQ stage and there's no concrete orders as yet, right?
So and what I said was that we were already looking at we got a baked in about close to 200 crore of, let's say, firm up, business, which is new business. But it's not going to stay there because it continues to, new RFQs that keep getting quoted and some of them that were quoted 1 or 2 months ago, you know, they are likely to come through as well, you know. So this is a continuous kind of a traction that happens.
So, yeah, okay. So Ronak, just to add to what sir just mentioned, just to clarify, you know, there is a stage called award of business. So, once the business is awarded, so that 200 crore number is more, talking about that stage. Post that, the real purchase orders follow in due course, right? Which is, you know, and then gradually the ramp up happens. So, broadly, that's how the process evolves.
Understood. Okay. So my next question is on the slightly longer term strategy for the company. Given that OHV is a fairly cyclical business, any thoughts on entering a new segments like CVs or PVs? Because there's a lot of traction from global companies to set up manufacturing, to source more from India. And some of your peers in the forging space have been talking about that and they are consistently winning new orders and growing at a fairly decent pace. So any thoughts on that?
So the main focus will still be off-highway market, which we are there operating for the field. But at the end of the day, we are also an engineering company dealing with 12,000 plus SKUs. So we are looking in certain areas in this sector. And of course, demand outlook is positive out there, but we are not at the moment centered on something which we want to diversify and move. But obviously, they are under evaluation.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Over here, and something that Vivek and Rohit may not know of, but you know, the largest construction company in the world, who is our customer, they always thought we do the PMP sort of thing and everything, but the key people came and visited our Ludhiana facilities and they were surprised to see our forging capabilities and machine forging capabilities, you know, and just 2 weeks ago they have, you know, approved us for that and they say, hey, you know, this is another area that is going to open up for us to give you new business, you know. So that's a pretty interesting development over there. So you mentioned the word forging and that's why I thought let me talk about it, you know.
All right. Oh, yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Mangal Agarwal from Rajesh Mangal and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sir, I am attending this concall for the first time. So, why this ROCE has been reduced from 36% to 20%? Can you brief elaborate, sir?
Yeah, so it is because of the decline in the numerator because of the operating deleverage, while the denominator has grown obviously because of the retained profit. So it, both numerator and denominator are, you know, impacting, temporarily impacting adversely.
Okay, thanks, thanks. And second thing is, sir, what sort of PLI benefit we are availing from Indian government?
No, there is no benefit as of now.
There is no government benefit except the duty drawback expenses.
Okay, sir, in this agriculture equipment, etc., we are not having such a benefit?
No, there is no benefit announced by the government of India. This is a PLA benefit scheme in this particular segment.
Okay. Thank you, brother. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anu Jindal from Thorin Technology Solution LLP. Please go ahead.
Sir, most of my questions have been answered. Just two questions. The first is, out of the 46% share of 3PL, how much was greater than 70HP? Like, have we made any sales for the 3PL which are greater than 70HP? That is my question. Hello.
Yes, yeah. So, we already do at component level, we have been doing for some time. While, you know, some of the new orders or awards have been for the more complete system, which are, you know, in this stage of getting implemented. But at a component stage for large tractors, high HP3PL, we already do sales. So over there, our share is broadly, you know, 7 to 8% kind of. Yeah.
7 to 8% of the 3PL sales or for total sales?
Of the market size, I mean the mapped OEM market size for large tractors.
Got it. And my second question is again, you know, it has been asked earlier also in this concord, like, to counter the cyclicality, obviously we understand that, you know, U.S. agriculture has been not doing that great and interest rate cycle is yet to reverse. So countering the cyclicality of the agriculture industry, like, what are the long-term views of the company? How do we plan to, you know, adjust to the down cycle of such industries?
So, two, three things over here. See, the diversification which the company has been able to do over the years and getting adding new customers has helped. As you may observe that, you know, last year's proportion between three-point linkage and PMP versus this year, the FY24 completed year, there is quite a change. But what has happened is, while the three-point linkage remained weak, which is, you know, the tractor cycle remained weak, but the construction cycle did well in the last completed fiscal. So that helped, right? Then also the account additions have been helping. So those are the things, you know, which help in diversifying and de-risking the business more and more. And we continue to, you know, work on further new accounts. And new business and new project, obviously, will lead the growth.
Okay. And when you mentioned PMP parts in your presentation, it is for construction industry only, right? Like remaining 53% revenue contribution of PMP, that is majorly for construction industry, or PMP is also shared by some, by agricultural industry?
It is largely for construction. Few agriculture machines also, include PMP, but that's a smaller portion. Some of the larger agriculture machines use PMP, but it's predominantly the construction industry.
Sure, and the very last question, sorry for that again.
the very last question is, is it like the PMP customers which take the PMP parts from you, from Uniparts, is it due to like the advantages due to the engineering capabilities as is there in 3PL, or is it something else? Like, why would they primarily come to you, Uniparts, as compared to other Indian players? Like, if we discount the China Plus One, like, is it the engineering capabilities or is it the like customization that you provide? Like, what is the exact reason? If you can just throw a bit of a light there.
Okay, thanks for the question. See, first of all, just remember that we are catering to the top companies in the world, and engineering capability and quality systems are taken for granted. You have to have that, otherwise you cannot do it, you know. But most of the products that the new business that we get, we are also getting of the fact that, you know, it's made in those countries or it's China Plus One effect. But we in India are the only one per se to offer low-cost manufacturing globally to these kind of parts. And add to that the fact that we are doing so much of our business through the warehousing, we have taken the distance out of the equation, you know. It's almost like having product next to the manufacturing locations in USA and Europe where we can just supply on just-in-time deliveries, you know. So the warehousing model coupled with low-cost manufacturing in India, and like I said, the engineering and quality systems, if you didn't have that, you would never get into this business in any case, you know. That's the way I put it.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That answers my question, and we would be awaiting for the guidance maybe in the next month.
Definitely. Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, you know, and really glad talking to investors and potential investors. And but for all, I would like to reiterate that the company remains committed to maintaining our high-quality standards and delivering exceptional outcomes. We continue to focus on strengthening our customer relationships and leverage our core capabilities to partner our customers in their journey and success. Our focus and efforts are aligned with the medium-term business plan for achieving the targeted growth in the coming years. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, with this, I would like to thank you all for taking out the time for today's call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.